Inside Black and Gold. Jeff Nowak, Steve Geller. We talked for about 40 minutes about all the terrible things that happened. Let's talk about some of the good stuff that happened.
I got to pile on one more bad thing. Sorry. Oh. Number 58, we didn't mention. And I felt like Anthony Orji had a rough night.
He did, but he's, you know, he shouldn't be in that situation. Right?
I'm just like, saying, though.
It was I understand what you're saying. He did lead the team in tackles, but yeah, they picked on him. And that's the thing. You end up having to rely on your, you know, backup UDFA linebacker in place of Pete Werner, who can't get through a walkthrough without pulling his hamstring somehow. And that's what happens.
Sorry, I had to bring that one up. It bothered me because I kept writing down 58.
Yeah, I know. And Bobby always brings him up because he likes to make orgy jokes. And
oh, yeah, that's his favorite.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to pile on a young player in his debut, right? That's why I'm not going to complain about Saldivari too much. Like, it's right. I can't think of a place that I would at least like to send a young player out to their demise. Arrowhead Stadium. Like, that place was brutal. Oh, one thing. Yeah. I mean, like, I didn't really talk much about the sidelines, but one thing that I learned for the first time, because I've never been out there, probably the least sideline space of any stadium in the NFL. Wow. Like Lambeau is similar.
Okay.
Because, and I think it's just an old stadium thing. Like they just built these stadiums to seat people and they didn't really think about like player safety necessarily, where it's like, yeah, it's kind of close, guys. Like if they throw a battery from this seat, they're going to have some force behind it.
That makes sense since Derek Carr knew who this one guy was that was berating him.
No. And I understand completely now why that's the case. Cause like, you know, I kind of measured it. Like I didn't have any actual measurement, but I kind of measured it with my feet from the back of the bench to the wall where the seats go right up is about 12 feet. Give or take.
Wow, yeah. Not much space, like you said.
No, and the thing is, they have one of those like camera carts that like rides along the side of the field. I almost got run over by that thing like four times because they will not stop for you. They just have someone like running in front of and get out of the way. And normally it's easy enough to avoid because there's enough space where I could take a couple steps forward, a couple steps back. Like I would basically have to be on the bench for it to pass by me without
diving out the way.
Like you talk about how loud it gets in there. That's a big part of it. It's like, you can hear, like, it's not just that they're yelling loud. It's that these guys are screaming in your ear.
They're on top of you, right?
Like, at one point, I felt bad because I, you know, the long snappers warm up on the sideline. And, like, at one point, I was avoiding the truck, and I stepped right in the way. And thankfully, Zach Wood noticed, and he was like, get the fuck out of the way. But, like, I was like, at least he didn't, like, yeah, at least I didn't catch a ball in the temple. Because I'm a bit like that's your they snap it at about like head height, right? So it would have been like boom, and then the ball would have probably deflected onto the field and it would have been this all fracas anyway. So
challenges like, of the sideline.
That atmosphere is no joke. But it's a lot of it is like, and that's why, like, you know, you build these new stadiums and a lot is built for comfort more so than the, you know, just this the environment. And you're giving a lot of space away to suites and, you know, like Dallas, they have like, or I think it was Arizona. They basically have like a whole picnic area in the end zone, one of the end zones. Even the Saints, like they have those field level suites now. So you take away some of the loudest fans and replace them with people who, you know, they might be like, right, not going to scream at the top of their lungs. So anyway, that's definitely no joke. So, you know, if you want to put this in the up segment, the atmosphere at Arrowhead is legit. They are not making that up.
Well, yeah, you mentioned with some of the new stadiums too, the nice new amenities are fun and great and everything. Like, I think the bunker bar is cool, that whole idea. But like you mentioned, a lot of the times the most passionate, the most, you know, raucous fans are not going to be in there.
Exactly.
But and, yeah, so the college atmosphere everybody talks about is legit.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. It kind of felt like Tiger Stadium. It's got that vibe to it. But all right, let's see. Okay, the biggest up, the biggest stack up for me, you know, Colin Saunders. If you ever run into him in an airport, for example, and you're like, oh man, that's a Saints player. What am I going to say to him? What do we have in common? What will he talk to me about? Walk up to him and just bring up, hey man, you're pretty fast. And within 2 to 3 minutes, he will have his phone out showing you high school football highlights and basketball highlights, being like, dude, I'm an athlete. And because he talks about it. Like he wants you to know he can run, he can move, he can play halfback if you need him to in a pinch.
Big man's got wiggle.
We saw a little bit of that last year. He's got that. Well, he just moves. And I was so, you know, in a game, it's a bummer that it happened in that game, in the sense of like, it's something that will kind of get lost in the wash of a bad loss. But that was one of the cool, like, for a guy to go back to the team that he got drafted by in that building on national television and have the one of the, you know, you have those kind of big, I think I saw someone refer to it as like a thick six of like a big guy brings a ball back for a touchdown. Like, understand that when a defensive tackle catches an interception in the end zone, 99% of the time that guy's going to be like, you know what? I'm just going to fall. I'm going to go down. Colin never for a millisecond considered anything, but I'm taking this back 99 yards to the house. and I'm there for it, because you saw him get out and move. Like, I've watched that clip at least a dozen times at this point, and every time it's just like, you think it's like slightly sped up, but it's just like, how does this bowling ball of a man move that fast? Like, he had to push Jonathan Abram out of the way.
Right.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah. All over great, you know, outcome for him. Unfortunately, like you mentioned, just the, you know, a shitty game for it to occur in, that'll kind of be brushed aside and not really remembered as much, but I know it'll be big for him. A Missouri guy, grew up in Missouri, was a draft pick, like you mentioned, of the Chiefs, and boom, goes back to Arrowhead, making that huge play. Like you said too, you could just tell there was nothing in that brain that was telling him to get down. Rumble,
trying to get it home, man. Take it home. I, like you said, that running back days flashed in my head. And I was like, shit, that's a 101, though. That's a little ways to go. But then I was trying to give us some good field position. Once I came out, I'm like, all right, I got to get past the 25 now. So, it was a good return. And, you know, I wish I could have took it all the way, though.
If he had taken that for a touchdown, that would have been like an all-time moment. I had someone tweet at me like, hey, can we get this in German? Because it kind of did feel like that shy Tuttle moment a little bit. Like, yeah, if he had right, stiff arm,
completely dusted Matt Ryan.
Yeah, if he had stiff armed Mahomes on the way to the end zone, that would have been fantastic.
Forget about it.
But just in general, you know, like, that play was obviously very cool, and it gave the Saints a chance. Like, it really did. Like, the in that moment, the reason the Saints were able to cut that game to 3 points and feasibly be in that game in the fourth quarter was you took an almost guaranteed touchdown off the board and turned it into a possession that the Saints cashed in on. They went and scored a touchdown. And that's the type of thing that, like, in a game that you're getting dominated, you know, you gave yourself a chance. And, you know, it's definitely not a good day for the defense by a long stretch. But I thought Colin, you know, for what it's worth, had a really strong game. And he's a guy that missed the first 3 weeks with a calf injury. I think he was kind of working his way back into shape a little bit against the Falcons. And I don't think he played particularly well. And maybe the extra energy he got from going back to that building played a factor. But I thought he was a bright spot on a defense that was kind of constantly getting run ragged. I thought he had a really solid day. You know, the Kareem Hunt of it all is frustrating. You got to kind of put that on the defensive tackle position a little bit. But I don't know. I thought they got some really good work out of him in this game.
Yeah. Great guy. Great, you know, situation for him. I'm sure he's got to have had to hold on to that football.
Yeah, that was the nightmare scenario. If it gets punched out and then that fun moment turns into a, no, why didn't you just go down? but either way, that was a good moment for him.
That's about all of my high from this game. I mean, there really wasn't much that I can think of that brought me joy in this matchup.
Got a few others, just notes, nothing, not stuff that like went particularly like glowing well, but you know, I thought Connor McGovern, you know, for a guy that showed up on Friday,
unbelievable story, right?
Got thrown into the game because Lucas Patrick had to go get his collarbone checked out. Seems like he's fine, which is good. But like, you know, that drive where they went and scored a touchdown, the only functional drive they really had in that game, that was the drive that Connor McGovern went in and kind of took over at center. And, you know, there were some rough moments. You know, he got Chris Jones kind of took him for a ride a couple times. But yeah, I thought he handled it well. He handled it well enough that the coaching staff, when Lucas Patrick was ready to go back in the game, they threw him in at left guard. And it's not exactly a glowing signed for Nick Saldivari, who I think struggled a little bit. But, you know, I think that's a positive thing, because, again, you're not giving up on the season here. You need to find a way at center over the next however many weeks until Eric McCoy is ready to return. And based on what we saw in that game, I think Connor McGovern's going to be your starting center. So we'll see how that goes. But, like, for example, like Lucas was ready to come back. Once the game flipped to the fourth quarter, he was on the sideline ready to go back in the game. They could, if they didn't feel like it was going well, they could have just thrown him in there back at center. Instead, they stuck with Connor. So, you know, you gotta give him credit for that. That is not an easy situation. He got two practices in. You're in an environment where you can't hear yourself think. It was incredibly loud in the fourth quarter when he got in the game. And I don't, like you look at that and say, like, how can they possibly have success in that situation? And so you got to give him some credit for that. In a game where very few things went well, that was one of the positive things.
Yeah, we've been having discussions about starting centers way too much.
God, I'm so exhausted by it. I'm so tired. Like, what are the odds he did? He probably got hurt, and we'll find out on Wednesday.
Right, exactly.
He'll be done for the year, right? Like, Shane Lemieux on IR now, which, you know, I think DA, like, one of the reasons that Sean Payton would never talk about injuries, so you can avoid the situation DA found himself in, which was on, what, Monday or Wednesday early in the week? Or I think it was Wednesday. No, Thursday, because it was Monday game. He was asked, hey, is Shane Lemieux's injury anything serious? No. 4 days later, he's on injured reserve.
So which is it? Right.
Yeah. So and the problem is, that's the thing with Shane. That's been the story of his career. Like, he's been a solid player. He was solid with the Giants, but he just kept getting hurt. And you got one game done for, well, not done for the year necessarily, but done for at least a month. So, yeah, either way, like, I would fully expect Connor to be your starting center, Lucas Patrick as your left guard, and you're going to go with that. Hopefully you can get Cesar Ruiz back. I would like to think that if he was going to miss 3 to 4 weeks, you would have him on IR, but who knows?
The whole situation with the O-line is a mess, and you're just lucky to get anybody back, I feel, at this point.
If you got Cesar back, you would end up with four of your five starters that you ended the season with, just replacing Eric McCoy. And I think you can deal with that. It's just, you know, like, Landon Young, he's a gamer. He works really hard. He's not a guard. And, you know, especially in the run game, like, man, like, they just cannot get any push whatsoever. I think, like, Alvin's getting, like, it's hard to put that on Alvin. I mean, he's getting hit at the line of scrimmage on every play. You're trying to set up screens, they're getting blown up. Like, this didn't work. Okay, one other thing that I talked about a lot going in, so I do have to give him a little bit of credit. The tight end participation. Like, I don't need, like, I've given up on the idea that your tight ends in this offense are going to be dynamic. Like, I think the ship has sailed on that. Like, it's just not what's going to happen. But I do need them to be involved. I need them to be outlets. I need them to get the ball in their hands. And in this game, now, probably at the expense of Chris Olave to some extent, 7 catches between Foster Moreau and Juwan Johnson, 44 yards, got that touchdown on a really nice design on that kind of throwback pass. Derek worked to the left, came back, got Foster, who was leaking out of the back of the end, or leaking out from a block. I did, you know, it's funny, these Monday night games, my entire day is made up of, like, radio hits and podcast hits, because it's the only game on, and all these shows are like, well, we got to talk about the Saints. So who the heck's going to talk about the Saints? So I think I had 4 different hits yesterday throughout the course of the day. One of them was BetMGM, their, like, live show. And they were talking to me, was like, hey, well, do you think the Saints tight ends are going to do anything? Should we bet, like, Juwan Johnson anytime touchdown? And I was like, I wouldn't bet that. I would bet Foster Moreau anytime touchdown.
Ding, ding, so, ding, 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 ding.
If anyone took my advice, which I don't know why they would, because my advice is terrible, then maybe they want to bet there. But so those guys think I know what I'm talking about. Now, I know, and you know, that I have no idea what I'm talking about. But those guys, they think, oh, man, he's got it. Anyway.
It's like the mafia, though. Now you'll be known as friend of the program.
Friend of the program, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the long for those guys was 11 yards, Juwan Johnson. But, like, there was a couple key first down conversions. Like, I don't necessarily need them to be these elite downfield threats, but I do need them to kind of unlock the middle of the field a little bit. I thought they did that more than they have. You know, they basically doubled their catch total for the season in that game. So I think, like, I want to see more of that. I asked for more of that. You got more of that. So I can't be mad about it.
No, I can't argue with than that fact. At least you got to see a little more Juwan Johnson get involved in this offense. It's been a slow start for him. And I know everybody's getting kind of impatient with you know, when's he going to have that breakout game? And hopefully maybe he can take another step into Sunday against Tampa, because obviously they'll need him then too.
His best career game came last year against Tampa in week 17. So maybe that's just like a game that fits his eye. I don't know.
Right, maybe whatever. Gamer against the Bucks. Let's go.
One of the reasons Cam Jordan will forever be remembered in Saints history is because of his performances against the Falcons.
Right.
So you know that you can be a Shy Tuttle is remembered fondly for one reason, and it is stiff arming Matt Ryan into duh. So you have that. But I have one more, and it's really just my weekly. Hey, Matt Hayball is actually doing pretty good.
And yeah.
Because, you asked him to punt four times. You know, I think he went like 43, 42, 40, and 41 net yards. He had an average of like 40, just under 42 yards net. You asked him to punt from some negative situations, and he flipped the field effectively. Like the Chiefs, say what you want about their offensive weapons. You talk about guys like me, Mecole Hardman, like they can burn you in the return game. So he didn't allow them to do that. There was no, there was a couple decent returns, 6 yards, 7 yards. I think one was for 13 yards. He had a punt of 53 at one point, but yeah, I thought he had a solid day.
Yeah. Definitely hasn't stuck out as a sore thumb as an issue. And one of these kind of games too, obviously highlighting the punter is going to not really, be a sexy talk right there when, it's like, great. We were killing it in the special teams punt game.
You have to talk about the punter as a high point, then you had a lot of low points. But let's put it this way. At this time last year, it was just relentless. Like, Lou Headley sucks, cut him. So we don't have that.
It did happen, though.
Man, they got their wish out there.
Right, exactly.
I think you've gotten some good showings out of him. So that's – I just take that for what it is. That's it.
Baby steps.
That's
it.
That is all that I have for you on the positive side of this equation. Anything else you want to add before we – dive into this, I'm sure, non-toxic mailbag?
Yeah, definitely. That's a wrap on the positives. Really, the only thing I could think of that immediately jumped to me was obviously Saunders. Good for him. Shitty it was in a losing effort. And I don't know, just capitalize more on that. Build it into to the Tampa game, because they're going to need any kind of playmakers you can at this point.
They got to win that game.
Yeah.
If they don't win that game, it's going to get – like, you think this is ugly. I'm fascinated to see what the dome is going to be like on Sunday night, or Sunday afternoon, I guess.
Yeah, nooner. Back to a nooner.
Nooner. Get you a nooner in.
That means we're in the dome at 8 a.m., though.
See, I don't mind that. I don't mind that, because I get home at like 7 and I can get my work done. Getting home at 3 a.m.
Rough.
That's...
And having to go through travel. I know people go, oh, woe is me. You had to go travel on an airplane. It's exhausting.
Travel wasn't the problem for me. It's just the time. I sleep, man. I like to sleep.
See, I'm terrible. I can't fall asleep on planes.
But I can't either. I worked on the plane the whole way back. I'm talking about, like, I like to sleep in my bed. And, when I'm done with this, I'll probably go take a nap. You can see it in my eyes. Like, if I close my eyes for more than 5 minutes, I'm going to be out. It's just how it is. I've had, the coffee has gotten me through most of the morning.
Let it flow through you, young Jedi.
Yeah. All right. This is Inside Black and Gold. We'll be right back. We'll be going through the mailbag. Stick around. We'll be right back.